Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Vito to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 8th, 7th, 8th. I think it's the 8th. It's March 8th. We are live here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother, in the Big Brother Canada 8 house. And it was a bit of a doozy of a day. We had an interesting day go down. Lots of shenanigans happening in the house. Lots of misunderstandings going on in the house. So plenty to chat about here. I am on my own. So if you want to join me in the chat on YouTube, if you're watching live, feel free. And maybe we can, you know, have a chat. You feel me? Let's get started here. It was day 8 in the Big Brother Canada 8 house, and it was veto day. All important veto. It's very, very important this week. As we know, Chris is the HOH, and he has decided that his plan is that Brooke and Hira are going to be on the block, which they are, and this whole plan, it hinges upon one very important thing, which is that the veto is won and used on one of Brooke or Hira so that he can backdoor Michael. Very important. Now, in order to trick the four, the people that Michael are aligned with, Michael is aligned with JL, Maddie, and Rianne. In order to trick them into using the veto in the case that they win the veto, he has pretended to them that he will backdoor Min if the veto is used. So they're feeling okay about that, though there have been some suspicions, particularly from Maddie and Michael, who are a little bit concerned that I wonder if we should maybe think about not using the veto if we win it, because what if this is not a real plan, this whole Min situation, right? So that's where we start the day with, right? It's time to pick players for the veto. Very important. So the thing that we start with is that the HOH is not playing in the veto once again. Now, last season, Big Brother Canada 7, they started this sort of new sort of structural twist kind of deal where the HOH does not participate in the veto competition that they under their HOH reign, which means there are 5 veto players instead of 6. It was kind of interesting, the effects of what we saw there, that basically this tended to benefit the competition beasts, because the people who are winning HOHs, they are often also winning veto competitions, and winning back-to-back-to-back competitions tends to really put a big target on you. So preventing competition beasts from being able to win back-to-back-to-back competitions tended to be pretty beneficial. And on top of that, it also decreases the incentive to put a big competition threat on the block right away, because they have better odds at winning the veto, 5 players to 6, and you can't compete against them in the veto to try and stop them from winning the veto yourself. So it really helps increase the odds of somebody wanting to do a backdoor and decrease the odds of somebody who is a big challenge threat being put on the block in the first place. So it tends to really benefit those challenge competitors, the people who are really going to be fighting and winning the competition. So we're seeing this happen once again this season. So Chris is not competing in the veto. Obviously, Brooke and Hira are competing as the nominees, and three other players were chosen: Vanessa, Carol, and Maddie. So, Vanessa and Carol, if they win, they'll use the veto. Michael will go up. Michael will go home. However, Maddie is the one wild card here. If Maddie wins the veto, then she might not use it, which would force Brooke and Hira to stay on the block, in which circumstance Hira would likely be going home. So if Maddie wins, they're going to have to try to convince her, manipulate her into using the veto, and then turn around, betray her, and have Chris put up Michael, which would make her feel like a big old idiot. Or at least a big Tennessee idiot. I don't know. So that's what we've got here for the setup for the veto. But we have a whole day of nonsense that happens before the veto competition that largely includes Maddie, but we'll get there. All right. So what a day. And you know what? They're getting less sleep tonight. I got less sleep last night because of this whole nonsense with the daylight savings, and it's awful. It's awful. My whole world is shaking right now. Okay. So we start the day. Brooke, Shell, and Kyle, they are talking about the plan moving forward. They talk about their four, themselves, Vanessa, and Kyle, or themselves and Vanessa. So Kyle has been talking about pulling Rianne. Actually, let me bring up the chart for you for those who are watching, the YouTube version. Here's the chart. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up some of the photos of the players I'm talking about as I talk about them, just so you get a good sense of who I'm talking about, because we're still learning. So Sheldon, Brooke, and Kyle, they're talking about their four, which includes Vanessa, who is not a part of the conversation, but they're talking about this four, and talking about their plans moving forward. Now Kyle, previously yesterday, he had been talking to Rianne. He has a good relationship with Rianne. This is Rianne. And he really wants to pull her in to the group at large, as they're taking shots at the evictors, which is Michael, Rianne, JL, and Maddie. Michael should be going home this week if everything goes right. And what Kyle wants to do is pull Rianne in. He has a good relationship with her. However, Brooke does not like that plan. He talked with Brooke about it for hours, and she tried to convince him that he shouldn't do this, that Rianne is dangerous, and that this is not a good plan. But Kyle is Kyle, and he didn't really listen to Brooke at all. And so he's going to be continuing to try to convince the other members of the Alliance that Rianne is somebody that should be worked on, pulled in. That's going to be one of his main motivators throughout the entire day, anytime he talks to his allies. And like I said about Kyle, when he wants something, he doesn't really listen to anybody else. He really just decides, you know what? This is what I want, and I hear your concerns, but I'm right about this. And so just trust me, I've got this. Just let me do it. Let me do it. All right. So they talk about that. Kyle tries to equate pulling Rhi in with, like, he's like, I have a good relationship with Rhi. I know you guys don't, but you guys have a good relationship with JL and I don't. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of similar, right? Like, it's kind of the same. He says that Rhee is not really close to the other girls in the house, so she doesn't really have anybody else apart from that four. I actually do feel like this is not true. I don't know if Kyle thinks it's true, but Rhee actually does have a pretty decent relationship with most of the women in the house. Or at least a few of the women in the house. And she holds, I think, a lot more relationships than Kyle might anticipate. But we'll see. We'll see about that. After Kyle leaves the conversation, Brooke and Sheldon continue to talk. And Brooke tells Sheldon, look, I've had two gut feelings in this game. One is that that you're good. I can trust you, Shell. The other is that Rhee has to go. That Rhee is no good. And so Shell agrees Rhee has to go. He's on board. All right. So then we get to Maddie, Michael, and JL. Maddie is not sure what to do with the veto. If she wins it, right? She's concerned, like, what happens? What happens if I win the veto? Should I use it? Should I not use it? If I use it, then that leaves us exposed potentially. She's considering just throwing the competition altogether. Like, I just don't want to win. I just don't want to win. Then I don't want to deal with it. She's talking to Michael in jail, in the shower. She says she's worried, correctly, that if she uses the veto, that Michael might get backdoored. And so she's like, you know what? Not going to use it. I'll win it. I won't use it. She comes up with a better idea. She's going to win the veto. Then she's going to go to Min and she's going to say to Min, I'm not using the veto in order to protect you. And then she's going to win over Min. And then, boom, profit. Did it. After a lengthy conversation, that kind of becomes the plan. It was hard to hear this one with Michael and JL in the shower, not wearing microphones. She is going to continue to wonder, like, what to do, though. And she's going to continue to ask people what she should do. So she goes over to Vanessa and asks Vanessa, hey, Vanessa, what should I do here? What should I do with this veto? What should I do if I win? What should you do if you win? You're playing in this competition. Vanessa, it's like, I don't know. It's a hard decision. I don't know. Can't tell. Vanessa, very much not a pusher, for the most part. She doesn't like to give answers, and she likes to just agree with the people she's talking to for the most part. I'm just really, I don't know if she's just really, really a pushover, or if she just has some, like, really secret agenda and she doesn't care about anything else. It's hard to know for sure. It's hard to know. Maddie is going to continue to go around asking people about the veto and what she should be doing, which is obviously going to be a little bit sketchy here. So in the meantime, as she's going and talking with Vanessa, we've got Michael and JL, who are still in the bathroom. And Hira is going to come up and talk to them. Now, Hira is not feeling great. He was not really given a heads up that he was going to be used as a pawn. And he knows that Brooke was. And so he's really concerned that if the veto doesn't go down the way that he needs it to, that he might be in trouble. And he's also starting to see that Kyle seems to be really pushing things. Kyle seems to be a big vocal force in the house, that seems potentially opposed to this group that Michael and JL are in. And so Hira has already approached Michael about this four. And so now he's kind of approaching them again, like, hey, what if we work together? What if Kyle's like this big guy. He's this big threat. Why don't we start taking some shots? Huh? JL and Michael are all about it. They love it. They would love to keep Hira this week. Hira leaves. And they go,
Man, there was, it'd be so tubular if we could keep Hera, man.
And Michael's like, yes. And they start counting votes.
All right. So like if there's 14 people, then we need like 8 votes, right? So
first of all, there's 15 people in the house and 12 of them are voting. Because there's an HOH and 2 nominees, right? So they got it a little bit wrong there, but it's fine. We'll let them talk.
All right, so we got you, me, Hera, Maddie, Rhee, would Angie? I don't know, man. I don't know if we can get to 8.
And so they're like, how can we vote Brooke out? Because we want to keep Hera in. They're having a little bit of trouble. So that's what they're up to. We then get to, Michael is going to go and talk with Kyle. Because he is concerned about this veto situation, right? He goes to Kyle and he says, look, Maddie is not sure what to do with this veto. And, you know, can we trust Chris? If we use the veto, can we trust Chris to not screw us over? This is something that Michael has been concerned about for a few days now. And Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I think we can trust Chris, though. I do. I think we can trust him. I don't think he would do us dirty. And if I'm being honest, I don't know if going around and asking if we can trust Kyle, asking if we should be using the veto, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know. I think that might start to worry Chris, right? I don't want to get him paranoid. I think we should just chill and just use the veto and, just not worry about anything. Just don't worry about it. I mean, I don't want her to get in trouble, right? If she wins the veto and then doesn't use it, I mean, Chris is going to be mad. The whole house is going to be mad. I don't want anybody to be mad at anybody. So she should probably just use the veto if she wins it. Just use it. Michael's like, you're sure Chris won't just like turn around and put me up or you up or anything like that? Chris is like, man, you never know, but, I don't think so. I don't think so. So Shell is going to come in. Maddie is going to come in a little bit later after that. After Brooke also comes in, they get into this big, long conversation here in the have not room, where Sheldon is also saying, yeah, I just feel like Chris, I feel like he's probably going to do what he says he's going to do. I feel like we're good. And Brooke's line right now is, I don't think Chris is a good enough liar. I don't think he can lie well enough. I don't think he's going to turn around and do anything. I think he's telling the truth, guys. But Maddie is concerned. Like these three, who are just saying over and over that they think Chris is going to do it. They think he's going to put Min up and not anything like Michael. But they're like, but will he? And Maddie starts to get a little bit, emotional. She's like, I just feel like, what happens if I use it and then something like he turns around and he puts up somebody like you, Kyle, or Michael. I'll feel like such an idiot and I'll feel like I did something so wrong. And I just don't even want to win this thing. And Kyle's like, oh, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It won't be your fault. It won't be your fault. That's on Chris. Don't listen to anything else. And he says if you think about it, right? We don't even have to vote out Michael. If Michael goes on the block, like I'm not voting out Michael. Even if he does turn around and do it, like he's got the votes. So they're trying real, really hard here, to make this happen. So, we then get to, after this conversation finishes, it wraps up. Michael heads over to the kitchen with Maddie and JL, and Michael is like, that was so sketchy. I just had three of them in there, all like ganging up on me, telling me that I can trust Chris and that I should use, that the veto should be used. Like, that was weird. I did not like that. That just tells me that they're all working together. I'm concerned. And sorry, I'm not doing the Michael face. I'm just concerned. I'm concerned. Hold on. I need to look more surprised. I'm concerned about what just happened. They just were in there telling me that the veto needs to be used. That was bad. I think they might be working together. He thinks that that Shell must be working with him, because what happened was, he says, Michael says, Shell came to him and JL in the bathroom, and he asked Shell, should the veto be used? And Shell told him, according to Michael, that he would not use the veto if he won. Shell said this. Now, it took a while to find this conversation, but the feed's cut before it happened, before we saw it. So we don't know exactly what Shell said here. But the night before, Shell had been talking with Jamar, and Jamar had told Shell that Michael was sketched out by him and the whole veto situation. And so Shell had planned on telling Michael that that he was like with him, and that maybe he shouldn't use the veto in order to protect himself and Michael. And so, so Sheldon had planned on doing this, on doing something like this, in order to sort of win Michael back over, because Michael was already suspicious based on what Jamar was telling him. So we can kind of infer that they probably did have this conversation or something like it. But Michael is sketched out because Shell's was saying that that he would not use the veto in that one conversation. And then a couple hours later, he's in that have not room saying, actually, on second thought, I think that Chris is probably, is probably trustworthy and that we probably should use the veto. Now, I think the reality of what's happening here is that Michael was already concerned, was already suspicious, and this is just like a reason that he can use to further his suspicions and give, like, blame his suspicions on somebody else, right? And he's been upset with Shell prior to that moment, right? Before this moment, because he thought he was in good with Sheldon, but Shell has been talking with Chris too much, and he says in this conversation, Shell has been sucking up to Chris, this whole time. And I can't do that. I just can't do that the same way that other people. I just can't suck up to people like that. And so he tells Maddie, he says to Maddie, look, tell people that I told you to use the veto. She said to not use the veto. No, to use the veto. Say that I said to you that you should use the veto. She says, okay, but don't actually use the veto. It's like, I don't know. Basically, what Michael wants to have happen here, he wants Kyle and Sheldon to think that he is now on board to use the veto, that he's not being suspicious, don't think that he's not trusting them. But in reality, he doesn't trust them. And he doesn't want the veto to be used, right? Now, here's a big problem for Michael. You might be thinking now that, like, man, Michael, he really called them out there. He seems kind of smart. He seems like he's understanding what's going on. But the problem for Michael is that Jamar walks by. He's like, Jamar, get over here. Jamar, listen.
they were just in there and they were trying to tell me that I shouldn't use the veto, but I think that we shouldn't use the veto. And I'm worried about all of this stuff happening that Shells is doing all this stuff and he's telling me this stuff, and Kyle was in there and telling me that the veto needed to be used. And, you know, Hira had come up to us earlier and said that that he wanted to work with us. And so we're trying to make sure we have the votes to keep Hira in the game and get Brooke out. And Jamar's just like, I feel you. I feel you. Yeah. The problem here is that even if Michael does start to understand the problem, the bad situation that he's in, he does not realize the extent to which he is massively screwed, because even like anybody outside of that four that he tries to talk to just immediately gets blown up. Anything that these people do is immediately known by the entire house an hour later, which we'll get to very soon. So Michael goes up to Sheldon and he says, "Hey, I just told Maddie to use the veto." Sheldon's like, "Okay. Okay." And so that's the end of that little saga for now. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Now, I do want to just point out, Rianne, throughout most of the day, is spending a lot of time talking with people in the house on a personal level, just building relationships. In particular, she spent a lot of time with Hira. She spent a lot of time with Chris talking with Hira about his past and his life, talking with Chris about his past and his life. She spent a lot of time talking with Kyle as well. And she talked with Sue, a lot through the day. So, I think that, you know, if you're paying attention, you can start to see why so many people feel like, hey, Rhea is the one that we can bring in, and why people like Brooke, who hasn't talked to Rhea very much, is concerned about Rhea. Now, I want to be very clear, Rhea almost never talks game. So I don't know how intentional this social bonding strategy is, but she is building a lot of social connections in the house, and we'll see what she does with them over the course of time. So, we then get to, Sheldon and Sue in the have not room. They're lying in there. These two are pretty funny. Sheldon likes to like sarcastically flirt with her, even though she has a boyfriend, but like not in a serious way, like in a joking way, like talking about her boyfriend as well, but not in a disrespectful way. If that makes sense. Just very sarcastic. Kind of stuff. And so they're talking, they're joking around. They really like their sort of group of four with themselves, Jamar and Brooke, that's a pretty good four for them. Along with all of their other alliances. And so Jamar ends up joining them. And I gotta say, like these three together are hilarious and I love them. And if you're going to watch anything from yesterday, Check out their conversation in the have not room, because they're great. They're talking about Jamar's like, "All right, guys, all right. If any of us are in the final two, we're voting for each other. And Sheldon's just like, wait, you think I'm going to vote for what? Like Angie over you, Jamar? Get out of here. So they're talking, they're bonding. Jamar lets them know. He says, look, I got to tell you something. Michael pulled me over and he said that he does not want Maddie to win the veto or to use the veto. And Sheldon was like, wait, when was that? Because he just came up to me and said that he told her to use the veto. And this is concerning. And Jamar says also like, okay, I got to tell you something else. Apparently Hira came up to them earlier in the day and told me he wanted to work with them. And so now they're trying to find the votes to keep Hira. And Sue just goes, Hira's a snake. And Jamar's like, and they're just like, man, that Hira. Oh boy. This is no good. And so this information, like I said, is going to spread throughout the house. Hira is definitely in some trouble here. People are mostly like, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, he's trying to do what he can to stay, but, bad move, Hira. Bad move. You attached yourself to a sinking ship here. So we're then going to get to, Brooke, Vanessa, and Kyle. Who are having a conversation. Kyle is just continuing to make the case for bringing Rhee into the fold. He can see that Brooke still doesn't want it to happen. So he, like, every time he talks with Brooke, he's basically like giving her more and more reasons for why it makes sense for them to bring Rhee in. But this was an interesting conversation because it might be the only explanation we have for like Vanessa's behavior throughout the day and throughout the game thus far. Vanessa brings up that she's concerned that she's at the bottom of their four. Their four being Vanessa, Brooke, Kyle, and Sheldon, right? So earlier in the day, we had Kyle, Sheldon, and Brooke talking about game. And Vanessa was not involved. And so Vanessa feels like they talk game without her all the time and that she's left out of conversations and that she's just at the bottom and her opinion doesn't matter. And so Kyle and Brooke try to reassure her, like, you know, of course your opinion matters. Like, sometimes we just have conversations because there's an opportunity to. And, you know, maybe you don't take those opportunities as much. But, you know, we value and respect you. But this might be a hint at like her motivations when she actually does talk strategy, because it's actually not very often that she does. So Kyle also says that man, this week has been tough but lucky, because if like Chris was really against Shell, like if Shell's hadn't gone up to Chris before the HOH, then there wouldn't have been anything I could have done to stop Chris from going after him. But now Chris feels good about him, so we're good, we're solid. So Maddie is going to have a conversation with Rhee. She is still freaking out here about the veto. She fills her in on that whole have not conversation and how Michael now doesn't want her to use the veto. Maddie is saying, I don't even know if I want to try and win this thing at this point. I'm just so confused and so worried about what might happen. I'm just worried. I'm just concerned about this whole situation. Chris is going to chat with Hira just a little bit here. Chris explaining his tears about like, okay, so they got these people who are like really cool, and then these people who are like just a little bit less cool. He tells Hira, don't worry, there's a plan. There's a plan. I'm going to put up a juicy target. Mm-hmm. You hear me? Right. Yeah. So here's like, okay, cool. All right. So then Michael goes and talks with JL, and they're of course going to be discussing, the whole veto situation and all that. However, the sort of weird part of this conversation, they start talking about Brooke. Right. They want to keep Hira, which means they want to get rid of Brooke this week, and Michael gets around to talking about Brooke. He says, man, Brooke, she's just, I just don't trust Brooke. She plays that Dungeons and Dragons shit. So she knows this. She's got everything down, you know, and she plays up that physical contact, making people think she wants them. It worked on me. It worked on me at first. And JL's like, dude, yeah.
I did the same thing. I thought she was into me in the first few days, putting her head on my shoulder and shit. I was like, whoa.
And Michael says, you know, I just don't understand. Like, how must her mother must feel like having to watch that sex stuff? Like, I wouldn't want my daughter doing that. It's just like, I don't know. Really weird conversation here between Michael and JL. Apparently putting your head on somebody's shoulder is sex stuff, and really, you know, really like trying to, I don't know, tempt Michael and JL, really trying to seduce them with her head on their shoulder, really, you know, like touching them on the arm, I guess. I don't know. This really, really, this was bad. These guys need to stop talking about her mother and everything else. But JL's like, you know, I feel like
Chris is going to do the right thing, man. I think it's going to be fine.
JL's into it. He buys it. We also get Vanessa and Chris having a conversation. Now, this is the most confusing conversation. And yeah, I apologize that these squares are not lined up. They don't lock into place or anything. So, you know, they're going to be messy if you're watching the visual here. But we have Chris and Vanessa. Now, Vanessa wants to chat with Chris about the veto. All right. What happens if we win the veto? Who do we use it on? Chris is like, well, Brooke. All the girls are going to use it on Brooke. Brooke's going to come down. It's going to be Hira and Michael. Vanessa's like, okay, but what if Hira ends up going home over Michael? Chris is like, I mean... Then we have to keep Brooke on the block. Vanessa's like, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought it up. That's what I came here to talk to you about. I'm just wondering about this, you know, like, I just feel like, would Brooke be more likely to stay? And Chris is like, bro, yeah, Brooke would be more likely to stay. We're going to have to keep Brooke on the block. We need to take Hira down. She's like, yeah, and Chris is like, oh man, Brooke is going to be mad. Brooke is going to be mad, but we have to deal with it. We have to do what we have to do. So the obviously confusing thing here is, and I tweeted this out, that if you've been following along these live feed updates the last 3 days, then you'll know that Vanessa has not really been talking much strategy. The first night she complained that she is not, her opinion isn't valued enough. As I said today, earlier in this day, she complained that she feels on the bottom and that she isn't heard a lot. The only strategy I've heard her talk was with Chris when he asked her if he should backdoor Shells. And she was like, maybe. With Min, when they talked about who to take off the block, and she said that she would prefer Hira off the block, even though Min wanted Brooke off the block. And now this conversation, where she is actively trying to change Chris's mind and successfully does it to keep Brooke on the block. It really just feels like she wants Brooke on the block, but I have no idea why, because it's not like she can take Brooke out of the game, right? The votes aren't there unless she plans on flipping the entire house against Brooke somehow. It's just, but like, so, but in this circumstance, the hero would come down, Michael would go up. It would be Michael versus Brooke, and she'd flip the votes on Brooke. I don't think that she plans on doing that. So maybe she just wants Brooke on the block because she just feels like, Brooke, like, I don't like her and I want her to suffer on the block. Or maybe she's just a wild card and she just does random things. Or maybe, I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know where she stands here. Maybe she just feels like she just, like I said, she's a so unbelievably passive of a player that, that when Chris even mentions a possibility of like who should be taken off the block, she's like, yes, I think that what you're trying to say is that you want Brooke to stay on the block. So I'm going to go ahead and mention it first. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I think, honestly, I think the simplest explanation at this point is that she just doesn't like Brooke and she just wants Brooke to have to stay on the block. I don't know what else. Anyway, to make this more confusing, so she does this with Kyle. Then she goes and she talks. Or sorry, she does that with Chris. She goes and she talks with Kyle afterward. She goes up to Kyle. She's like, I just talked to Chris and he wants to use the veto on Hira instead of Brooke. He wants to keep Brooke on the block. And Kyle's like, what? That's so stupid. Vanessa's like, I know, right? I tried to argue against him, but he really just wants to do it. I just don't know what, like, he was like, I think that Hira isn't going to stay over Michael. And so Brooke needs to be up there. And Kyle's like, that's so dumb. No, we need to get Brooke off the block. And she's like, yeah, that's what I said. But I don't know. I don't know what else to do. And Kyle's like, well, no, don't argue against him. Just agree with him next time. And we'll figure it out. And she's like, okay. It's like, what is happening? Like, in her mind, is that how the conversation went? Or is she lying? Right? Like, maybe there are some players that operate this way. Maybe she had that conversation with Chris, and in her head, it really went the way that she's explaining it to Kyle. Or maybe she's actively manipulating Chris and then lying about it to Kyle with the ultimate goal to punish Brooke because she doesn't like Brooke because she feels like she doesn't listen to her opinions. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out at some point, guys. Anyway, Sue is going to go and talk with Chris after Vanessa does. Chris is going to let Sue know, Hey, I was just thinking what we need to do is that we need to take Hira off the block instead of Brooke. We need to leave Brooke on the block. Okay. And Sue says, no, that's dumb. We're not going to do that. Come on. We trust Brooke. We don't trust Hira. You know what I just heard? Hira's trying to work with Michael and the four. We can't trust him. He's shady. We do trust Brooke. We're going to take Brooke off the block. And Chris is like, but I was thinking about the votes, right? The votes. Brooke is less likely. No. We trust Brooke. We don't have to concern ourselves with that. We just want to take Brooke off the block, leave Hira. That's the better plan. It's like, okay. So Sue just immediately flips him back around. He's like, oh, I told Hira that there was a plan. And she's like, you told Hira what? No, Chris, you can't trust Hira. Don't tell Hira anything. He was just talking with Michael and them. And he was talking. He wants to work with them. He's going to tell them. Chris is like, I think I messed up a little bit. I think I shouldn't have done that. She's like, yeah, that was a mistake. Chris is then going to open up to Sue. He says, all right, I have something to tell you. One of my names is for my job. I call myself the Game Changer. I do like all sorts of cool stuff like, hypnotism and,
like I have clients, like I have lots of clients and I like tour around and, like right before this, there were like 20 people that I was, you know, doing therapy with. And, like Tony Robbins, like he uses just a little bit of NLP, but my mentor, Dave, blah, 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 he is the inventor of NLP. And I apprenticed under him for 3 years. And let me tell you, it's amazing stuff. And what I've been doing is that I've been using it. I've been using it on the house guests to get them on our side. And so like, we're really doing this. Like, this is good. And Sue is just like, wow. That's wow. I'm so glad that you're using your powers for good. Oh boy. This is another great conversation to go back and watch if you want. He's very excited about this whole thing. All right. So Sue, after this conversation, goes down and talks with Brooke, and just gives her a heads up. Like, I just was up there talking to Chris and he wanted to keep you on the block, but don't worry. I told him that's dumb. And so he's not going to do it. And Brooke is just like, I love you, Sue. Thank you so much. We then get to, another conversation in the Have Not Room with Kyle, Michael, Vanessa, and Rhee at first. Now Michael is even more concerned because Michael is now concerned that not only will the veto being used be trouble for him, but he's also concerned that his concern about the veto being used being trouble for him will make it so the veto being used will be trouble for him. If you catch my meaning. Basically, this idea that like, oh, Michael is freaking out. Michael wants to put that to rest. He wants to put the blame on somebody. And so Michael is telling Kyle and Vanessa, hey, the only reason I was even freaking out at all is that Shell told me earlier in the day that he wouldn't use the veto if he won. But then later in that have not conversation, he was telling me that he would use the veto. And so I just felt like, what is going on right now? Why are you lying to my face? And so again, basically like Michael is trying to, you know, we see this happen a lot. Michael was already suspicious, but when Shell did something that contradicted itself, he's able to sort of take that. He's already mad at Sheldon because Sheldon is hanging out with Chris instead of him now. He's able to take that and scapegoat it. Say, the only reason I'm suspicious is because of Shell. And he says that. He says, I was totally fine until Shell said that to me. And now I'm freaking out. Now that was the only thing. That was the only reason I started to worry. But if you're telling me it's fine, Kyle, I trust you. So that's what Michael is trying to do here. And so they start to talk about that. Michael also continues to pretend that he has told Maddie to use the veto. He says, but now I'm on board, now using the veto. Absolutely. We're all about it. Maddie does end up joining them in this conversation. Again, she says, I just feel like a piece of shit if I use this veto and somebody gets backdoored because of it. And I just don't know what to do. I just don't understand. I just want to do what everybody else wants me to do, because then I won't get blamed for anything. Because if everybody wants me to do it and I do it and it goes wrong, then it's not my fault. Kyle's like, yes, I agree. Do what everybody wants you to do. That's a good idea. Kyle talks about how we're not going to vote out Chris. Even if Michael goes on the block, we're not going to vote him out. So don't worry about it. They're really doubling down on this idea. Like, they are really pushing hard and promising a lot. And so there's going to be a lot of
a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of betrayed people in this house. Well, three of them at least. Jamar quickly has a conversation with Maddie after this big have-not thing. And Maddie fills him in on what that conversation was about. Mainly that, that, you know, everybody's all upset about Shells and how Shells was saying that, that he wouldn't use the veto. And now he's saying that he would use the veto. And Jamar is just like, whoa, Jamar is not happy. So Jamar goes to Sue. And he starts talking to Sue and he says, Sue, can't trust Kyle and Vanessa. Can't trust Kyle and Vanessa. They're shady. They're shady. Sue's like, what? What are you talking about? What happened? Jamar's like, no, you don't. Maddie just came up to me. She said that they were talking with Kyle and Vanessa, and Kyle and Vanessa were saying what Shells told them about the plan, and got, for some reason, Shells got caught because he said to Michael one thing, he said to Kyle another thing, and Kyle told Michael the thing that he told him. So this is like, this is where it gets really messy, right? So to try and break this down for you again, the conversation that happened between Michael and Shells was Sheldon saying, if I won the veto, maybe I wouldn't use it because I'd be worried about myself and you, because he was trying to build trust. Then later, they're trying to push this idea that the veto should be used. And he says, the more that I've thought about it, I really do feel like we can trust Chris. I feel like the veto should be used. Right? That's what Sheldon does. Michael takes that. It's a little bit shady in itself, but he takes it also as a scapegoat, as an excuse for being worried in the first place, which he already was. And he says, and he says to Kyle, like, I'm not being paranoid. It's all Shell's fault. Kyle and Vanessa try to clean that mess up in that conversation. Then Maddie goes to Jamar and explains that conversation. And in the explanation, Jamar takes it to mean that Kyle and Vanessa exposed Sheldon to Michael and Maddie. And now Shells is in trouble because of Kyle and Vanessa. And so he's going to sue, like, we thought we could trust Kyle and Vanessa, but they're trying to play both sides. They're throwing Sheldon under the bus to Michael and Maddie and getting Shells in trouble. Jamar is not about getting Shells in trouble. He is a loyal dude. And so he's pissed about this. And so he's like, that's what's happening. And then Sue gets really confused because she's like, what do you mean they are exposing Shells? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, they said this. They said that he said that he wanted the veto used when he told Michael that he didn't want the veto used. She's like, why did he tell Michael that he didn't want the veto used? He's like, I don't know, but he's telling the, you know, the two people different things, but then they exposed him. She's like, well, that's bad. But like, how do they know that he does want the veto used? And she's like, I mean, Shells must have told Kyle. And Sue's like, well, why would Shells tell Kyle? And she's like trying now to pretend that the Shells and Kyle aren't in an alliance to Jamar. And she's trying to be like, well, Shells shouldn't have told Kyle. And it's making it even more confusing. So Jamar's just like, I just gotta go get Shell. We just gotta go talk to him. So he goes, feed's cut for a while. He's not able to get to Shells, so this is going to hang, this is going to linger for a little bit. We do get a conversation between Vanessa and Min to add to the chaos here momentarily. So Vanessa and Min have this conversation. Min has been sick all day. She got the sickness from JL, so she's been in bed sick all day. She says that, like there's been some rustling, and they're talking about Sue and Jamar, and how Sue and Jamar, they're really close. they're definitely working together. And neither of them particularly like it, especially Min. Min really wants to break up Sue and Jamar. She's already tried to the day before, but they do not like that Sue is working with Jamar. Min brings up the tanks alliance, the hot tub thing with Chris, which was her, Vanessa, Sue, and somebody else. And so she brings that up and she says, like, so that was fake, right? Like, that just must have been fake. There wasn't somebody else, actually. It was those three and Chris. That must have been fake. And Vanessa says to Min, yeah, Sue's playing really hard. Some people in this game playing really hard. I'm not one of those people. Min starts to talk about the plan for the week, that she is the fake backdoor plan. She says, I'm kind of worried, though. I'm kind of concerned that fake plan, what if it's a real plan? And Vanessa's like, man, I'm so confused this week, too. I don't know. Maybe it is. And just again, it's like, Vanessa, what are you doing? You know it's a real plan. Why are you throwing Sue under the bus? I mean, I guess, again, distract from the fact that you're aligned with her, maybe, but it's just very confusing. She's very confusing. But it gets to the point where Min is just like, you know what? If I am going to get backdoored, I'm not going out quietly. I'm going to blow up everybody's game on the way out the door. Every single person, I'll expose every secret. I'll go right after Kyle. Not down for it. Oh, boy. Anyway, feeds go down again for a while. By the time they come back up, the whole Sheldon situation with Jamar has been cleared up. He's talking with Jamar. He's explaining what happened, that he had gone to Michael and he had said, hey, you know, maybe I wouldn't use the veto. And then he eventually said, you know, after thinking about it, I would use the veto. And it got all mixed up. But Kyle and Vanessa did not try to throw him under the bus. And Jamar's like, okay. Jamar has calmed down and everything has been cleared up and it's all fine. So. Then we get to the veto competition. We saw like a glimpse of it, right? It was like a thing. I don't know why I'm bothering to try to visually explain this. Basically, what they had to do was get on their knees and like traverse across a track. That looks like wintry, and grab puzzle pieces with their teeth and then come back on their knees and then put a puzzle together. It was apparently extremely physical. It really beat some people up. Now to reset this, the people playing here, were, we had Brooke, we had Maddie, we had Carol, Vanessa, and Hira. Those are the five people playing. Feeds come back from the veto. Brooke is in tears. Her knees look like they've been through, like, I don't know, like a beating knees up machine where it's designed to beat your knees up because they're pretty bruised and cut and scraped and skinned. Apparently her knee pads were falling off a lot, and so her knees were just getting demolished. We have Carol upset. She has chipped her tooth, perhaps more than chipped her tooth. She's like, I'm gonna be the reverse Dane. I'm gonna have no teeth on the bottom of my mouth, trying to bite those puzzle pieces. She just like chipped a piece of her tooth out, and really feeling down about herself. She obviously also did not win. she feels like just that was so physical and so hard that that her body is just not capable of keeping up in this game. And she is now talking about like, I don't know if my body can handle this. I don't know if I can like just compete physically. And I, the one thing I promised my family was that I wouldn't push my body too hard. And I just feel like I want to be able to come home as in one piece. And so she's kind of talking like she doesn't want to be there anymore. That she can't compete physically. It's not good. And she's considering quitting the game. She has a couple people try and comfort her. Now this is probably a temporary thing. She's probably fine today, but it really, really, beat her up and she did not feel good. She did not feel good about it. She says she thought, for a moment, she thought about just using the tooth thing as an excuse to just bounce out of the game. Just say, that's it. So that's an issue. We also have Vanessa coughing up blood, just like coughing up her lungs and blood and all sorts of things. She gets into a coughing fit in the have not room. The feeds are cutting every 2 seconds because they're talking about how they're all coughing up blood, and that and she eventually needs to go to the diary room because she can't stop coughing. Look, Big Brother Canada, your competitions look cool, yes. But you have a massive problem when it comes to the health of your players' lungs, which is a very strange thing to say. But this is not the first time that players have come back from a competition over the course of the last few years playing Big Brother Canada, and they've had problems breathing. They've had problems coughing. They've had problems with their lungs, smoke machines, fake snow, and every time it comes up, they just cut the feeds away. In Big Brother Canada 6, they just left the feeds off for days after the veto competition because they were so sick from the competition, and they wouldn't have been able to hide it, so they just kept the feeds down the whole time. It's not good. And honestly, it's worse that the feeds are cut to try and hide this. It's worse. So let's just keep our house guests healthy. We know how, if smoke machines make things worse, if fake snow makes this worse, if whatever, like just I think most of the viewers would agree that that we'd prefer the house guests to be healthy to like having it look marginally cooler on the screen. Just my opinion here. All right. So that's what's going on there. Ultimately, Hira is going to win the power of veto. Hira has the veto. He will be taking himself down, and he will be safe this week. Hira's not going anywhere. He said he was going to beast it, and apparently he did. Apparently he did. So the plan should be in place. Hira will take himself down. Chris should put Michael up in his place. Cue the explosions. Michael versus Brooke. Michael should be going home. Should. All right. So a few more conversations after the veto, but it went pretty late, so there wasn't a ton after that. We had Kyle talking with Sue. They both feel really good about Chris. They really feel like this is going to be okay. Kyle is like, maybe the guy weirds me out. Like, what if he does backdoor me? Like, I'm good, right? And Sue's like, yes, absolutely. Don't worry about it. But I think we're good. And he says, I agree. I think we're good. They both love Chris because he loves them. And they feel like they kind of want to keep him around a little while, that, there are some people that want Chris gone, but they both feel like Chris is useful to them. She's his girl and he's his guy. And so he's useful. They don't love that Min is kind of getting lost in all this, because they kind of want Min gone as well. But it's a necessary evil for now. They talk about how the next people on their hit list, Maddie and JL, they want to continue to go after those four, but they do want to keep Rhi around. So that's their plan. That's what they're up to. We also get some camera talk from Brooke, who's also feeling pretty down about herself. Her knees are all beat up. She couldn't keep herself off the block with her social game or her strategic game, and she couldn't take herself off the block with her competitive game. And so she's kind of feeling like, man, I am not the player that I thought I would be. That's unfortunate. And she's concerned about her position in the game. She knows that she's in a good spot right now, but she also knows that Kyle wants to keep Rhi around. Kyle wants JL out. She has a bad relationship with Rhi. She has a good relationship with JL. And the problem is that Kyle is a lot more likely to win competitions to make his agenda happen than she is. She's clearly not able to win this veto. She's probably not going to win as many competitions as somebody like Kyle, which means that if they stay in an alliance together, then Kyle will be getting his way. He'll be the one setting himself up for the end game, and she'll be out of luck. So while she's in a good position right now, long term, it just doesn't feel like it's going to work for her. So she feels like she needs to reevaluate. She says, like, she's not sure what she's going to do, but this is definitely something that she's concerned about. And this is, again, Brooke thinking long term, which is important. And she actually does make some good points. But again, I'm not sure what this translates to in terms of actual gameplay in the short term. So very very interested to see what happens there. She is also concerned about another thing. She says, the most beneficial alliance I have right now is the one I have with Shelly. And I feel like I'm freaking him out right now with how emotional I am. And that's not good for me. And I was like, self-aware, at least. You got that. Good call on that one. Because she is. I mean, she's like crying multiple times a day to people and needing emotional support. And it's definitely not the sign of like a reliable ally, right? And so she's concerned about that. And hopefully that means that she can sort of like kick it into gear at some point. But we'll see. All right. After that, we had Min talking with Carol. Now, there was one thing that happened after the veto, after the feeds came back from the veto, and that was that Jamar and Min were kissing a little bit here and there. You know, playful. But they're definitely up to things. And so Min is talking to Carol. Carol's again talking more about wanting to leave the house. Min says, no, don't leave the house. Min says, I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody. But we're pretending that it's me that's going to be backdoored. But really, it's not me that's going to be backdoored. And guess what? I have been method acting, pretending that I feel like I'm going to go home. I've been method acting so well that I'm actually starting to get a little bit worried. But that's the plan. And Carol's like, I actually knew that plan. Min also talks about Jamar with Carol. She talks about this whole situation that they were kissing a little bit. And she says, you know, Jamar, I think he's a sociopath, maybe. I really hate him. I don't like him at all, but if I'm being honest, like, I'm really bored and I'm really horny and I think he probably has a big, and I really like big. That's like a word for word quote, by the way. That's not me doing anything to it. Carol found that amusing. And I think it helps, again, elaborate on the relationship between Jamar and Min. I think I said yesterday that Jamar is the kind of guy that just kind of puts it on the table and says, hey, And because it's on the table, even though they don't like each other, it's kind of just like, well, it's there. So there you go. Carol also says in this conversation that look, I came into this game, if I'm being honest with you, don't tell anyone, I don't really care about the 100,000. I just came into this game. I wanted to tell my story. I wanted to represent. I wanted to get like halfway at least to show that I'm here. I'm a contender. But that's all I cared about. Sometimes people use this as a strategy, but Carol was talking about quitting the game at this point. And given that she's not really heavily involved in the strategy right now, I kind of tend to believe it. So, motivation there for Carol helps you understand where she's coming from, I think. Toward the end of the night, we have Jamar, Sue, Sheldon, and Brooke in the Expedia room. This is a great four. Love them together. Now Jamar is pitching to them, like, hey, you know, us four, what we should do, we should be using people like Kyle and Vanessa. We get far, then we drop them toward the end. We want to bring Carol and Angie. Those are the people we really want to bring along because they're weak. We take them down to the final. We take them down to the final six, then us to the final four. You feel me? You feel me? Let's do it. Jamar thinks they can reel Hira back in. He spent a lot of time talking to him after the veto. He feels like, you know, he did go over to them because he feels like he needs numbers, but he doesn't need them. It's fine. We can reel him back in. We can reel in people like Chris. We can use Chris. You know, I can persuade Hira to go after, you know, like an Angie or even, you know, a Kyle. I mean, if it's us four, then if he goes after Kyle, whatever. Problem with this conversation is that Jamar is the only one talking. And he's naming names of people that Shell, Brooke, and Sue are aligned with, in particular Kyle. So it's not a like super receptive response, but it's not, you know, an outright, they're not going to out him. They're not going to reveal that he's dangerous to Kyle. At least I don't think they will. Shell says the most important thing is to go after the two girls left in the four, that Maddie and Rhee need to go. And Brooke says that she wants to make sure Chris leaves soon because Chris is going to nominate her every time he wins HOH. She's always going to be a pawn for him and she can't have that. I think Jamar is trying to, well, you know, they're not going to vote you out anyway. You're going to have the votes. But she says, look, if I'm the pawn every week, then I'm not going to have a shot at winning this game. And they're like, fair. Brooke is being pigeonholed into this sort of like weak player pawn situation. And she's self-aware. She knows the game. She sees it happening. And she's like, no, stop. This is not me. I don't want to be in this position. Don't put me in this position. But like, there's nothing she can do about it so far. And it's frustrating her. And that's why she's so emotional. So that's going on there. A little bit later in the night, Brooke is going to talk with Sue about that conversation. Sue says, we need to keep Jamar at bay. We don't want him going after Kyle. But yeah, it's mostly fine. Brooke says, sometimes I feel like Jammers is a mastermind. Do you ever get that feeling? I saw him talking with Hira. Saw him talking with some other people. I'm just like, is he a mastermind? Probably not, right? Jamar is going to have another one-man show to the cameras. But that's pretty much it for the day. So that's what we've got. Let me know if you have any questions in the chat, but we're going to start to wrap this up here as we go. Like I said, big day. Lots of shenanigans going on. But the key points here are that Hira has the veto. He will be taking himself down and Michael should be going up in his place. Now, Michael has an inkling that he could be in trouble. And so we could see Michael try to fight for his life, try to convince Chris to not put him up. But my guess is that this is probably going to go down, that Michael probably will be on the block. And that we will see at that point, we'll see some explosions. We'll see Michael be like, Kyle, did you know this was happening? Shells, did you make this happen? What is going on? You know, all of this kind of stuff. So should be interesting. I think that they're going to, after Michael goes up, I imagine the plan will be feigned outrage at Chris. How dare he? I thought it was going to be men. Oh, woe is the world that would dare put sweet Michael on the block. And evil men stays another day. How awful. We will not go along with this terrible plan. We will keep you, Michael. We promise. We would never do this to you, Michael. And then on eviction night, they'll be like, sorry. So, should be interesting. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Let's see. What are some questions here? Did Angie do anything today? Not particularly. Who's the least worthy of staying in the house? I think it's too early to really make a call like that. Let's see here. Are Jamar and Suzanne the best positioned players in the house? Not Jamar. Jamar is friendly with everyone. He's kind of like in the rat floater position right now a little bit, but he does have some loyalties. The problem is that the people he's most loyal to are not most loyal to him as of right now. And that's not a great spot to be in. Sue is definitely in a very good spot. I am tempted to say she is in the best spot, but she also still has people like Min and Vanessa talking about her. Shell is in a great spot, but he has people like Michael and Maddie talking about him now. Kyle's in a decent spot, but he's very visible and he has people talking about him like Hira and Jamar. So it's really all over the place. I don't think there's any one person in a really crushing spot. There are a lot of people in very good spots, most of which are consist of the people in this six-person alliance that we call, or that they call 6 feet under, or we assume they call 6 feet under. They never talk about it like that. I've only ever heard 6 feet under once, and it was from Sue by herself. So we'll see. When does the Stockwatch start? It starts Tuesday night. That's the roundtable. Make sure you tune in tonight. For the Sunday night episode will be airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then after the episode, I will be live with Bruno from Big Brother Canada 3 and 5 to recap tonight's episode. So that should be fun. Make sure you check that out. Question, any chance that because Carol is threatening to self-evict that Chris will use her as a replacement? No. No chance. Any chance Michael convinces Chris to turn on Sheldon or Kyle? That is definitely his best chance. Is that if Michael goes to Chris and tells Chris, hey, Sheldon is the one that's playing us all. He was with me before, then you won HOH, and now he's pretending to be with you, but he's playing everybody. He's the most dangerous player in this house. You really want to make a move? Don't go after Min, go after Sheldon. Maybe has a small chance of working. If there's any chance for Michael to survive the block, or at least to stay off the block, then it would be trying to get Sheldon on the block, because that's the only other person that Michael that Chris would consider. So that's you can try that. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. Make sure you tune in for that. And like I said, tonight, we've got a recap. Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, we'll have the first roundtable of the season. Very much looking forward to rating all of these players. I think we've got a high level of play going on in the house. Lots of players playing pretty well. Only a few kind of duds so far. So that should be a lot of fun. And the stock watch will kick off from there as well. We'll start to buy stocks in these players. It'll be fun. I promise. Looking like a great season. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me this morning on my own. Make sure you find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I will be going live if anything crazy or exciting happens on the feeds. So keep a lookout for that. And I will see you next time.